The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided. Three against two and two against three, they will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, 'It is going to rain.' And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat,' and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" The Gospel of our Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the lectionary today is awkwardly uncomfortable for me because it just so happens that my husband is the assisting minister. My daughter is in the congregation, my son is in the congregation, and my future daughter-in-law is in the congregation. So what shall I do with this gospel? Can't do that, Vince. This is a difficult gospel. And yet, a hopeful one for us. You see, Jesus is not saying that he's going to punish. What he's saying is that it's not easy to be a follower. Certainly, in his own time, in the first century, it was dangerous to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus. To say Jesus is Lord could get you killed. Because the emperor was Lord. It was dangerous to be a Christian in the first century because Christianity was not what the civil or religious leaders of the time were all about. Christianity is first and foremost about where your priorities are. You see, love God more than anything. The first commandment is our first priority as a Christian, as a person of God. But you know as well as I know that if God is your first priority, you're going to very quickly fall out of step with the world. Very quickly. It's so much easier to tell people you're a Cubs or Cardinals fan, or Packers or Bears. We build massive stadiums to those gods. And when you say, I would like to help the poor, the needy, the immigrant, you will lose friends. That's not the way of the world, but it is the way of Jesus. The fire that he brings, I think many of us grew up in more fundamentalist or legalistic ways of reading scripture. So when we hear the words, Jesus is bringing fire, we think, Zeus, right? I'm going to snap a lightning bolt at you. But in this gospel, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And he still has work to do, and there are still disciples in his own circle that don't understand what he's all about. And he knows that Jerusalem is too near. And his work is not yet done. But for the gospel writer Luke, fire wasn't just about throwing Zeus's lightning bolt. Fire was about passion and purification and the presence of God. Jesus' own baptism. Jesus, Luke 3 says, baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Pentecost, fire, was the symbol of the event. So think not Zeus, but think the passion of Jesus for the people of the world, all the people of the world. Jesus came with passion and purpose and intention. His intention was not that my family fights before we go out to lunch. His intention was to tell his disciples, it's not always easy. It's not always popular. His intention in drawing disciples around him is to show that greatness is found among the least. That the cross is the way to eternal life. It's certainly not a happy message, but I guess neither is crucifixion. But sometimes we need to hear that word, because sometimes when we are serving Jesus, it's not easy. And when we are loving the unlovable, we ask ourselves, why am I doing this again? And the answer is because Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. Loves me so much that he was willing to empty himself, to humble himself, to take on the form of a slave, Philippians 2. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee, now take note, every knee will not be forced to bow, but will joyfully bend. It's in the Greek, okay? Nobody gets forced. But on that day when we see Jesus face to face, I believe we will all be in such awe that we cannot help but take a knee. As he says, welcome home. Welcome home. So when the days are not easy, know that you're not the first, you're not the last, you're not the only. Our lesson from Hebrews has a long list of faithful people. By faith, each of those sentences begins. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho. By faith, Rahab. By faith, Abraham and Sarah. By faith. All of these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what they were promised, since God had provided something better. The Christian life is not about instant justification, instant gratification. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, I think about that every time I think about these windows around the church, representing that cloud of witnesses. I think about that every time we sing the Holy, Holy, and the preface to the Holy, Holy in our communion liturgy with angels and archangels and the whole host of heaven. We are not in this alone. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Not looking around us, not looking at the rich or powerful, not looking at the successful, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of God. For you. Amen.